Exodus chapter number 14. Take your Bibles and turn there with me this morning. And a very familiar passage of scripture. If you ain't heard of this, chances are you probably ain't never heard of Jesus, all right? And anyhow, this is one of those that goes hand in hand. Chapter 12 deals with the Passover lamb. Chapter 14 deals with the Red Sea. How many of y'all have heard of the Red Sea? Yeah, all right. So anyhow, we'll take a look at that this morning. The book of Exodus has always been, and well, I guess since I studied it back in when I was in college, it's been my favorite, not because of a professor, because I did my own study in Exodus. I don't remember even going through the book of Exodus in college, but I did my own study and did it with the teenagers, and man, the Lord just kind of blessed that thing and helped me out a lot. To see a lot of things in Exodus, I guess that many people just overlook, but we look in the book of Exodus and we see the blueprint for a Christian life. I think you can follow the book of Exodus through and you can compare it to your life. And you can see how God moves and how God works. And that's what we're going to do this morning, is we're going to take a look at that. Now, I'm going to outline a few chapters, but I'm going to get to chapter number 14. And that's where we're going to stay at for the most part. But I'm going to outline a couple of chapters leading up to that. Excuse me, just to get us where we need to be. So as I looked at this morning, in chapter number 12, I want to talk about if I was to outline it, it would be the deliverance. We see the deliverance in chapter number 12, which is the Passover lamb. And many of us, I preached not long ago, it seems like, I don't remember how long ago it was, but it doesn't seem like it was very long ago, that I preached out of the book of Exodus in chapter number 12 and the Passover lamb. I talked about a lamb that was selected. How many of y'all remember that? All right. He had to be chosen. That lamb had to be selected out, and he was to be brought into the family, and he was to be watched and cared for 4 days. And we had related that to Christ and how he was a perfect lamb and how he was chosen before the foundation of the world to be that sacrifice and to be our sacrifice, how he was watched and that he was found to be without spot and without blemish. And we use the 4 chapters of the 4 Gospels. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that showed, each one showed his perfection and showed that he was worthy and that he was a success, an acceptable sacrifice. And so we see that in their deliverance. In chapter number 12, you'll remember that this was the 10th plague, and God took all of the firstborn of Egypt. And those that did not take that lamb, those that did not kill that lamb, those that did not take the blood of that lamb and put it on their doorpost, the Bible says that that night their firstborn of each household died that night. But those that had the blood on the doorpost, according to the Bible, they were passed over. That's why it's called the Passover. As the death angel came, he passed over them. Behold, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I need somebody to help me right here. That's a perfect picture of Calvary and what happened for you and I. When you and I get saved, we apply the blood of the Lamb that was shed on Mount Calvary to our lives. And according to the Bible, when God sees the blood, he will pass over you. I need somebody. Y'all got to help me this morning, all right? I know it ain't, it's probably elementary to you, but so many people struggle with this. It's not you can't keep your salvation. It's not something you earned. It's not something, therefore, that you can keep. I've been studying a little bit in 1 Peter, and we are kept by the power of God. I love reading that over and over again and emphasizing that we are kept by God's power, not by our own power. I didn't get in by my own power, and I ain't kept by my own power. I got in by God's power, and I am kept by God's power. So, for the life of a Christian, deliverance happens in the life of a Christian just as it did in Exodus chapter number 12, when the blood of the lamb that was slain was applied to the life or the individuals, then the death angel passed over them. I need somebody to hear me this morning. If you're sitting here this morning and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, yes, He has been slain. Yes, we read about His death on the cross, but until you apply that blood to your life, until you put your faith in Christ and His blood, His shed blood, you are in danger of spending an eternity in hell. Alright? So, I know we don't like that kind of preaching. I know we don't like to hear that. We like to hear everything's going to be alright and God loves everybody. God loves God, for God so loved the world. Hey, if anybody was wondering how much He loved you, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how much God loved you. He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you, all right? But it's not just good enough that Jesus died for you. You have to trust in that. That's chapter number 12. That's the deliverance chapter. If you're saved in this building this morning, you've been through your chapter 12. And you left out with a high hand. I need somebody to help me. The Bible says that that death angel passed over that night and all the firstborn of Egypt was killed except for those that had the blood applied. And the Bible says old Pharaoh, old Satan said, get out! Leave! The Bible says the people went out with a high hand. They was giving them stuff. How many of you remember the day you got saved? Man, you got, I need somebody to help me. Man, you walked out of the church and it was like a burden had been lifted. Remember that old song that we used to sing, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary? Does anybody remember that song? Amen. About four or five people, all right. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Everybody knows the feeling of that. You got saved, that weight that seemed to be lifted off of you when you realized that all of a sudden it was in His hands. All of a sudden, my faith, my trust, everything was in Him, and it was Him to deliver me. It was Him that would take me where I needed to go. It was Him that would keep me. I need somebody to help me. What a liberating experience. Then we come to chapter number 13. And see, chapter number 13 comes before chapter 14. Many people like to skip chapter number 13, go straight to chapter 14. But you can't go to chapter 14 without chapter 13. Chapter 13 says, hey, Israel, I delivered you. Now I want you to sanctify every firstborn unto the Lord. Firstborn of the family, firstborn of the flock. Y'all can stay with me now. Stay with me. See, we don't like to live that part of it. We like to get a ticket, get out of jail free card. We like the ticket that says, hey, I'm going to heaven. But we don't like the next part, which is giving everything that we have, including ourselves, to the Lord. That's what I call the dedication. That happened in chapter number 13. Chapter 12, we had the deliverance, but in chapter number 13, we had the dedication. If you go read chapter number 13, God specifically commanded of them, all right, I delivered you. Now it's time for you to commit yourself to me. Amen. I'm going to come down there. Is everybody all right? Y'all got to help me this morning. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Most people don't like this kind. They don't want to hear this. The fact is that God didn't just save you and give you a ticket, a get out of jail card, a ticket out into heaven, just so you go back to living like you were. Things changed, all right? When you put your faith and trust in Christ, things change, and all of a sudden, Christ is to be made. God is to be made the emphasis of our life. Y'all got to help me now. That means that we got to start having it. I don't understand in Christianity how we can get saved, and then all of a sudden we can't find nobody at the church house. We can get saved, and we can't find anybody dedicated to the Lord. He saved you. Then He has every right to ask of you and command you, by the way, to give yourself to Him. And that's exactly what He did in Exodus chapter number 13. He said, you're going to sanctify everything to back to me. Why? Because I delivered you. Y'all help me. I mean, is it too much to ask? Is it too much to ask that he saved you from hell? Is it too much to ask that you live your life for him? I want to think about that for just a few moments. It's easy to say that in a setting like this, but it's harder to live it when you get outside the church. God saved you. He saved you from hell. He saved you from the wrath of God.
Hallelujah.
The least you and I should be, the least we should do is serving. Set ourselves apart to him. Is everybody all right? So we got to go, we got chapter number 12, and praise the Lord for chapter number 12. And I could even go back farther, because if you go back to all the plagues, the whole reason for all the plagues was to prove to Satan, or to prove to, not Satan, but to prove to Pharaoh who God was.
That's right.
And listen to me. I think this is good for everybody to understand. All the circumstances leading up to your salvation is God proving himself of who he is to you. And though they might not be locusts, and though they might not be blood, water, and water turned into blood, and all these other things that they went through in these plagues, God was revealing himself to you in such a way that you finally said, all right, God, I surrender. I'm telling you, Exodus is good. You just got to look at it the right way. You got to see it the right way. And it is a story of a Christian. It is a testimony of a Christian and how they've come. They get delivered in chapter number 12, and then God asks of them to dedicate themselves, to give themselves to him. I don't think that's too much to ask. Then we get to chapter number 14. And this chapter right here, man, there's a couple of things that go on in this chapter right here that just make you want to go, huh? And I want to take a look at them this morning, if we can do that, all right? So if you're in chapter number 14, say amen.
Amen.
Verse number 1 says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, man, that's one of my favorite verses. When I did scripture memory, that was, man, you, there's like 20 of them verses that says the same thing. You just got to memorize it. Is everybody all right? Hey. All right, verse number 2. I'm just messing around. All right, now verse number 2. Speak unto the children of Israel that they, everybody say it with me, turn. All right, speaking to the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before, everybody say this with me. Yeah, I don't know it either. All right. Pahaharoth, between Migdal and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. All right, we won't read that part of that verse ever again, all right? At least not this morning. But I do want you to see one word in there. Turn. I want you to see one word in there, and it's turn. And this is what I outlined this one, this chapter, and this is what we're going to talk about for the rest of this morning, is the detour. The detour. See, life is full of detours. The music this morning kind of went along with that. The valleys, the different things that you and I go through, they're not what you and I would plan out for our journey. How many of y'all like to plan out before you go anywhere? Right? So we get in the vehicle and we try to plan a route. We'll do it when we go to the mountains. I always plan a route that doesn't take me through the mountains. Not because I'm scared of the mountains, because my wife is over there going, slow down! So I try to find the interstate. As long, I don't care if I have to be on the interstate an extra hour, just as long as I don't have to hear her tell me, you gotta stop, just pull over, I can't do this. Right? So I get on there and I'm looking up the map, I'll plan our trips when we go on our motorcycle rides, I'll get the maps out and everything. How many of y'all know that there are actually maps that exist? Did y'all know that? I know most of you just Siri it or whatever, but anyhow, we get them things out and we look, and I'll plan out routes and we'll do all of this, that, and the other. And then we'll get in the car and we punch it into the GPS. I need somebody to help me. Don't lie. Don't act like you don't use it. Go in there in the maps and you punch it into the GPS and it says it will take you 5.5 hours to get there. And if you're like me, challenge accepted. I need somebody to help me.
Amen.
5.5 hours. We'll see about that. I don't know. I'm not saying that it won't take that long. Can I get my phone? Y'all okay? Let's see here. I'm gonna do something real quick. I think I got service to do this. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. All right. Oh, Siri tells me that it says that I've got 4 hours and 20 minutes to get from here to Augusta. I can, and my wife can verify, I have made it in 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Amen.
Yes, I have. Siri ain't going to tell me how long it's going to take me to get somewhere. I need somebody to help me. All right, but here's what messes that up. Detour. You and I, whether we like it or not, you and I must admit that we want to get from point A to point B as quickly as possible. Unless you're on a motorcycle. Yeah, I get y'all. I see all the motorcycle guys going, whatever. Just give me a motorcycle and let me ride. It doesn't matter how long it takes me to get there. All right. But if we got, here we go. If we get in a car with the kids.
Yeah. Let's get there quickly.
We want point A to point B to be as quick and as straight as possible. Right? And so we, our whole life, let's just talk about this. Now we're talking about in cars, but our whole life is that way. We want the fastest route and the easiest route to get to where we're going. But God, that isn't God's way. God's GPS oftentimes doesn't make sense to us, but it is for a purpose. As I've said multiple times this morning, there's none of us that gets up and prays for the valley. There's none of us that gets up and prays for a detour. There's none of us that gets up and prays that God, let this be more difficult than it should be. Matter of fact, if most of us was to have a prayer, it would be, most of our prayers would be, God, please make this as easy as possible. God, please make this as quick as possible. Why? Because we don't like the process. We don't like to go through it. I've been talking to people. They've been asking me about Zachary and everything, and they'll say, what branch of service they go into? And I tell them the Marines, and I wasn't going in the Marines. Because their boot camp was longer than everybody else's. The fact is that whether we admit it or not, we want to get to point A to point B as fast as possible. Let's go ahead and be sworn in as soon as possible instead of going the extra few weeks to be called a Marine. I ain't saying nothing bad about anybody. I'm just saying that's our mentality about everything. And we bring that into Christianity. But God in chapter number 14 had Moses turn. The Bible tells us up in chapter 13 why he did it. It says in verse number 17, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Y'all with me? See, we go back into chapter number 13 and verse number 17. It says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. Listen to this phrase. Although that was near. It was the quickest route. It was the shortest route between point A and point B. It was the quickest way to get where you wanted to go. God didn't take them that way. Why? For God said, I'm still in verse number 17, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. Now at this time they had just gotten delivered. At this time they left as a nation. At this time, they did not have an army. They didn't have weapons. They didn't have nothing. We're talking about a bunch of folks that laid brick. We're talking about a bunch of slaves. They didn't have the firepower to fight back against Egypt. And so God, seeing that, He said, I'm going to take them a different route. I could take them through the land of the Philistines, but they'd repent and they'd run back to the Egyptians just as soon as they seen war. So he says, I'm going to take them a different route. And verse number 18 says this, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. That simply means that they went in an orderly fashion. All right, that word harness there. But the point that I'm showing you this morning, or the point that I hope that we all get this morning, is that God delivered us. We're to dedicate our lives to the Lord, but you might as well go ahead and get ready for some detours. Because the detour is there to develop you. See, the detour, they wasn't ready to go against the Egyptians. And God knew this, and so God wasn't going to put them up again. Now, could God have done it? Somebody help me. Of course he could have. I mean, if he can part the Red Sea, then, hey, listen here, an army ain't nothing to God. I need somebody to help me. So it wasn't like God couldn't deliver them that way, but God chose to deliver them through a detour. God chose to bring a detour in their life to develop them, to prepare them. And let me say this, it ain't on our time schedule.
Amen.
As much as we'd like to think it is on our time schedule, it is not. We'd like to just run right over there to Canaan, whip everybody and take over the land and build us some big old houses and just live the life out by the lake. But that ain't how God designed it. Matter of fact, if you do some reading and you do some studying, you'll find out it was 40 years before they ever got to Canaan. And when they did go into Canaan, they had an army and they went in there and they went to whipping some folks. But that army had to develop, and that took 40 years in the wilderness with God to get to that point. But at this point, they didn't have an army. And God said, if they see an army, if they see war, they'll repent, they'll run back. He says, so I'm going to take them on a, man, this is good. Preacher, I don't understand why I'm going through. I don't understand why I have to go. You're not ready for the next battle that God has for you. And he's going to take you on a little detour, and he's going to get you ready so that when you do face that battle, when you do face that battle, you'll be ready for it. Detours are essential for our lives. Detours are needed in our lives. This detour, it enticed the enemy to come after him. Of course, we all know if we read on chapter number 14, which I'm not because we're running out of time, but if I read on in chapter number 14, we all know that God parted the sea and the enemy come in following them and God closed the sea in on them and killed them all. So God uses detours not only for our benefit and to develop us, but he uses them to destroy our enemy. Y'all got to help me. Not only does he use them to develop us and to strengthen us and to prepare us for where we need to be, but he also uses them to destroy our enemy. That Red Sea, that detour was needed to get rid of Pharaoh and an Egyptian army of 600 chariots. Could you imagine? That's a lot coming against a bunch of farmers and sheep herders and bricklayers just trying to get across the land. So God uses a detour. But here's what I want to preach, and I'm done. The directive. How do I get through a detour, preacher? I'm glad you asked. I think there's some instructions in here that I'm going to be very quickly with. Like I'm done. Is everybody with me? I'm lying, but I'm done, okay? There's the directive in the end of chapter number 14 and the beginning of chapter number 15 that I'd like for us to just see if we can, if you'll allow us to do that, all right? So, the children of Israel, they're turned in verse number 2. The Bible says that they come and they encamp by the Red Sea. But there's no passageway. There's no way for them to get away. So now they're in a pickle, if you will. They have nowhere to go. They can't go to the left, can't go to the right, and they can't turn around and go back because the army of Pharaoh is pressing upon them. The only way of deliverance would be through the Red Sea, but let's just be honest. Most of us ain't thinking, oh, God's going to part all that water. Now we do now, but back then, they had no precedent to believe that God was just going to part the water and let them walk across. So they did what most Baptists do, and they went to whining because they were on a detour. I need somebody to help me. I can already hear some of them. How long is this going to take? Is there a bathroom? Can you turn that air conditioning vent back here, please? Is everybody with me? Y'all have all heard it, all right? And here's what Moses said to them. Now, the Bible, you'll have to go and read it for yourself, but the Bible says that they got angry. They got upset with Moses, and they said, why didn't you leave us back in Egypt? Were there not good enough graves over there? Could we not just have stayed there? We could have stayed right there, kept doing what. And let me tell you something about this. Let me say something about this. Oftentimes the devil will try to trick you into believing that your life before salvation was way better than it actually was. I need somebody to help me right there. Hey, he'll trick you into believing that your life before salvation was a lot better than what it truly was. Don't forget, these were the same people that was crying out to God that said, please deliver us. We can't take this anymore. Now all of a sudden they're saying, hey, I wish we'd have stayed back there. He'll trick you into believing that the life you had before salvation was better than it really was. And here's the directive. Four things and we're done. How do I get through a detour, preacher? Number one, put off fear. Verse number 13 says this, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. How do I get through it, preacher? How am I going to get through a detour? First off, fear not. Put off fear. The fact of the matter is that if you're saved, you belong to him. If you've dedicated yourself, you ain't got nothing to worry about. You are in God's hands and he will protect you. Matter of fact, you go and read later on in this chapter, the Bible says that God removed the smoke and the pillar of fire and he brought the cloud back behind the children of Israel between them and the Egyptians so that the two of them could not even come close to one another. What am I saying? I'm saying God has got this. It might be a detour. It might be inconvenient in your life, but God knows exactly what he's doing and he's working on your behalf. So fear not. Trust him in it. Trust him in it. Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't know what you're going through. I'm not going to pretend to know what you're going through, but what I do know is that God has given us example after example in the Bible of how he has worked in his children's life, how he has been faithful every time. And I'm saying this to you this morning, he'll be faithful to you. Fear not. Put off fear. Say, preacher, that's easy. That's easier said than done. Trust me, I'm still working on it. But how do I get through it, preacher? How do I get through a detour? How do I get through this valley? Put off fear. Number two, press forward. I like this. Bible says in verse number 14, the Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Verse number 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Let me stop right here and say this. Even the leaders were getting a little worried. Did you catch it? Moses stood over all the people and he said, hey, fear not. God's got this. God, what am I going to do? And the Lord said unto Moses, man, why are you crying? Did y'all miss that? He didn't do that in front of everybody. Why are you crying? I'm going to say this. Not all of us has got it. Moses didn't have it together. I'm thinking I probably won't either, so don't expect it. I struggle just like you, but first thing, I believe. Fear not. Why? Because God has got this. But then second, press forward. Listen to this. Wherefore Christ thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward. What do I do on the detour, preacher? Keep going forward. Their problem was they kept wanting to go back. Can I say in the Christian life, it tends to be the downfall of most Christians. They want to go back to the way it was. And they run back to that same lifestyle that God had to save them from when a detour comes into their life. How do I make it through a detour, preacher? Fear not. Trust God in it. Number two, press forward. God put them in a spot where their only deliverance was going forward. Only deliverance was going forward. It wasn't comfortable, but their only deliverance was going forward. I'm sure Moses said, do what? God said, I got this. Take your staff. Tell the waters to part. And that's exactly what they did. And so we come to number three. Practice faith. Faith. Practice faith. So we fear not. Second, we move forward. But this one was, y'all ready? We practice faith. And I say, preacher, what do you mean? I mean this, they ain't no different than you and I. So the water parts, and the Bible says that there was a wall of water on the left side of them, and there's a wall of water on the right side of them. I need somebody to help me. I'm not going in there. I like how many spiritual people are in here, all right? Everybody's like, woo! It parted! Praise God! Let's run across there. No. I'll be on the committee that's being like, hey, I don't think this is a good idea, preacher. It's awesome display. But there's got to be another way. Can you just call God up and see if he can get a few boats over here, a few thousand boats over here, and let the enemy go through? Y'all help me. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter number 11, it was by faith that the children of Israel walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. So I can prove what I'm preaching. They had faith. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. If I can figure out how Moses got 600 and something thousand Israelites to have enough faith to strike out across the Red Sea, we'd have a church of a million, Brother William.
That's right.
For the life of me, I can't figure it out. But I will say this. How are we going to make it through a detour? It's going to take faith. It's going to take faith. I get in that GPS, it tells me I got a detour, and it says turn left in 1,000 feet. And I'm like, you. And by the way, what's 1,000 feet anyhow? I need somebody to help me. Turn left in 1,000 feet. Oh, okay. Turn left now. Rerouting. What? Somebody just cussed in their head right there. Because you were like me. I'm like, what? 1,000 feet? I want 100 feet. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Lord, help me change the road. Turn right now. Into what? That pond? But you know what we do? Come on, y'all. Y'all got to help me. Whatever that thing tells us. Turn right on. Turn left in a quarter. Y'all, come on. Why? So we have faith that it's going to take us right back to where we need to be and get us back on the right path. We've got to have faith. Put off fear, press forward, practice faith, and lastly, praise his feet. I'm getting out of here. I ain't talking about his feat. I'm talking about his accomplishment. The Bible says that when the children of Israel got to the other side, God closed the sea in on the Egyptians. The Bible says that God made their chariot heavy, had the wheels falling off, made their chariots heavy, and they couldn't escape. They went into panicking, and they tried to turn around, and then God closed the water in on them. I've heard people try to explain how they crossed the Red Sea in shallow water. They used a ford, and they did all of this, which makes a miracle even more, that all those Egyptians died in a foot of water. Somebody say amen. But they come across that, and they look back, and the Bible says in the last two verses, I believe it is, of chapter 14, that they looked at the Egyptians, the dead bodies on the seashore, and they feared the Lord. That means they were in awe of what God had done. And chapter 15, give me the first verse of chapter number 15. And Moses, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. They stood in awe, and then they praised him. Listen to me. The journey wasn't over. If you go and study, you'll find out this wasn't the last detour that they would take. The fact of the matter is that life is full of detours. But how do we get through them? Fear not. Trust God. Press forward. Practice faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We practice faith, but then we praise him for his feats. Because every detour, I need somebody to help me right here. Every detour, God reveals himself to us in a more magnificent way. You going through a detour this morning? You had it all figured out. Point A, point B. You done fast tracked it. Figured out when you were supposed to be there. And God's thrown a wrench in it. Hey, is everybody all right? They didn't have a map and a GPS, and they didn't have global, all day. They couldn't look up there and see what was ahead. All they know is God said, turn here. They didn't have the technology. Everybody wasn't Googling, where's he taking us now? y'all better help me. They weren't calling each other. Has he lost his mind? The Bible says they were harnessed. They come out of Egypt harnessed. That means they were in rows of five. They were five of them. They were just doing, they were just doing what they were told to do. God, is this what? They didn't fear. They pressed forward. They had faith. According to chapter number 11 of Hebrews, they had faith. Now, does that mean that they didn't have failure? Because just as soon as they got through this one, there was another detour, and guess what? They failed again, went to whining and everything else. But God used the detours to develop them and to prepare them for an enemy that they would face, a land that they would conquer, y'all better, and a nation that they would become.
That's
right. This morning, don't despise the detours.
That's right.
Embrace them. Fear not. Press forward. Have faith. And then praise him in it. Heads are bowed with me. She's coming to the piano. How many of you need a little bit of time around the altar? Your detours taking you in a different direction than what you had planned out. God's faithful. He knows what you're going through. He knows where you're headed. He knows what it's going to take to get you there. Everybody bow their heads with me this morning. This morning, let's go back to chapter 12. Let's talk for a few moments. Before we get into all the detours, let's talk a few moments about our salvation. This morning, if you were to die sitting in the chair that you're sitting in, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt? If not, I want to help you this morning. I'm going to come down front. And I'm going to plead with you. I'm going to beg you to take the same walk that I did. To put feet to your faith, to trust in the Lord this morning. Because without Him, and without His shed blood, there is no remission of sin. And the wages of sin is death. Thankful that verse doesn't end there. Gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This morning, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you be honest and say, "Preacher, I don't know where I'd spend eternity if I was to die sitting where I am." Won't you do me a favor and look right up at me? Is there anybody like that? Anywhere, to be honest with me. All right, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, thank you. Lord, for this morning. Lord, I pray this morning that somebody, Lord, that walked into this building, Lord, in a detour, struggling, not understanding. Lord, I pray today, Lord, that they got some help. Lord, help us. Help me. Fear not. Help me to press forward. Help me to practice my faith. God, help me to praise and celebrate those things that I see you do and am a witness to every day. God, I love you and thank you so much. Lord, for a time that we can get together corporately and worship. Lord, I pray today every Christian in this building or go home, Lord.